Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
Mike Jones is going to be on the program this morning at 7:25. We'll talk some NFL playoff games with him. Mike Wilbon will be on the show at 8:25. Boy, there's a lot to talk about with Wilbon. I was texting back and forth with him last night. I'm like, hey, will you get up and come on with me? He goes, absolutely. He's like, we got a lot to talk about. I said, yep, Harden, Kyrie, the NFL playoffs, his Bears, Big Ten basketball, which he's a fan of. And he said, I can do it. He goes, you gotta call me a couple minutes in advance because I'm out here in Arizona. And I said, Arizona? 8:25? Is that 6:25 or 5:25? I think it's 6:25. But that's awfully kind of Wilbon to do that. I told him he did not need to do that. We could have done something when he got back to the East Coast, but I don't think during the winter months he spends much time on the East Coast, and who can blame him? Good morning, everybody. Oh, my God. What a trade in the NBA. And I'll concede this. I know many of you don't really care. I do know that. I understand that. Whenever I delve into NBA talk, I don't think, honestly, I get more on social media about, come on, Sheehan, get back to something that we care about. The problem is that I care about it. So you'll have to endure it for just a little bit. But look, most of the time, and I would say 95% of the time, I'm going to try to talk about the things that everybody, all of us, want to talk about. And we have plenty of Washington football talk to get to, including Cooley's film breakdown of the defense from the game on Saturday night. Now, there was a bit of a conversation on the show here on Tuesday about Chase Young's performance. I was adamant that his performance was not only underwhelming, but it wasn't very good at all, especially on pass plays. And I described that essentially I had gone through the all 22 and looked at every single Tampa Bay pass dropback, and that number 99 was a non-factor, that he'd been a non-factor in the game. And furthermore, the fact that he had retweeted a tweet that explained why he wasn't a factor, the tweet saying he was damn near held the entire game with a video, 10-second video of a couple of what I would call questionable holding calls. I didn't like that he was retweeting basically an excuse made on his behalf. I think he's bigger than that. And I think, it wouldn't surprise me if he knows that that may have been a mistake. And a little bit, you know, after the fact, emotion after a game in which he truly was a non-factor. Now, I will tell you that before Cooley's defensive film breakdown yesterday, I was nervous. Because there have been many times where I have said, hey, this guy had a great game. And then Cooley comes in and says, not right at all. That guy had a terrible game. Cooley's really good at breaking down the film. In part, remember this, he understands what every player's responsibility is on pretty much every given play. Anyway, In about 20 minutes, you will hear what Cooley had to say about, actually a little bit longer than that. We will get to Cooley's film breakdown of Chase Young's performance in the playoff game. He's a big fan of Chase Young. I am too. But it doesn't mean that you can't be if you think it's the right thing to be critical about a game that he had in perhaps the biggest game that he's played in. So I do want to get to the trade of James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. I do want to update the Kyrie Irving situation, and I will do that right after this. What do you got?
All right, all right, all right.
What do you got?
So I have not seen the local television ratings for the Washington-Tampa Bay game on Saturday night. I'm very curious to see how the game did locally. I haven't seen a number for the Philadelphia-Washington game either. I will ask our good friend John Oran from Sports Business Journal to help out and see if he can access those numbers. What we do have is we do have the national numbers from Saturday night's Tampa Bay-Washington playoff game. Now, keep in mind, that is a primetime game, and Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the two teams playing in the game. The game did a monster rating nationally. At one point, close to 18 million viewers on NBC for the game on Saturday night. That is a gigantic number for an NFL wild card game. And especially when you consider that most people did not consider that to be the most competitive game or the most anticipated game of the weekend going in. You wouldn't have said Tampa Bay, Washington, the biggest point spread of the weekend, Tampa Bay going off as an 11-point favorite when that game finally went off. You wouldn't have said that's the game that you expect to be insanely competitive, which it wasn't. The Saints were a 10-point favorite, but eventually the biggest favorite of the weekend was Tampa Bay. After the news that Alex Smith was inactive, that number shot up to 10.5, 11 in some spots. So the game Saturday night did a massive number. One of the best numbers a wild card game has done in a long time. Now, for those that follow this stuff, and I'm one of those people that follows this stuff, the ratings have been down a little bit during this NFL season, which I think is a little bit surprising at times because of being in a pandemic and, you know, not being able to, you know, do some of the things that you would typically do when you're able to be around people and go out to events and whatever. The 2020 NFL season saw about a 7% drop in the amount of viewers across the board. And that's the worst since 7% from last year. And basically, they did the worst rating they've done since 2017. Now, what was interesting is I went back and looked at some of these numbers. This wild card game will be one of the highest rated games of the year. But the highest rated game of the year was another game that Washington was involved in, and that was the Thanksgiving Day game against the Cowboys. That was an insanely high number on Thanksgiving Day. It brought in 30-plus million viewers. Cowboys, Washington, neither team was very good, if you recall, and it did an incredible number on Thanksgiving Day. It is amazing to me, even in this day and age, with Dallas not being very good, not having Dak Prescott for the game, that two of the highest rated games of the last 10 years have been Thanksgiving Day games between Washington and Dallas. I'll concede that Dallas is a big part of it, and the primary part of the draw. When you see it, when you see Dallas in a game and it gets a big rating, it's typically not because of the other team. It's still because of the Cowboys. The Cowboys draw eyeballs, even if Andy Dalton's starting a quarterback instead of Dak Prescott. Even if the Cowboys have a terrible record and they're playing a team with a bad record in a terrible division. But there is something about the Cowboys and any one of their NFC East opponents, but more times than not, the Cowboys and Washington in a holiday format. You know, they've played a lot, the two teams have, on Thanksgiving Day here in recent years. You know, there was a long period of time, and there had been a long period of time between Thanksgiving Day games. If you recall, the RG3 Thanksgiving Day game had been the first in like 10 years. And then they played, you know, the RG3 Thanksgiving Day game. Then they played again in 2016. And then they played again in 2018. And then they played again in 2019. So you've had an increase in the number of Thanksgiving Day games in terms of the frequency between Washington and Dallas. And the reason is it just does a massive television number on Fox. And the 2016 game, I'm pretty sure, is the highest rated game on Fox of all time in the regular season. That was when Dallas was 9-1, Washington was 6-3-1 coming off that Sunday night win against Green Bay, and it was a hyped game, it was an anticipated game. It was probably the biggest game between the Skins and the Cowboys since that 2012 season ender. But certainly in the middle of the regular season, it was as big as any we've seen. And I think that is the highest rated regular season game on Fox ever. I bring it up because with Washington now an expected competitive team going into 2021, a team that could be a playoff contender, at least that would be perceived by the league potentially as a playoff contender, that don't be surprised if Washington's playing on Thanksgiving Day in 2021 against the Cowboys again. Especially when you consider that ratings overall for 2020 were down a little bit. They are going to be working really hard when they put this NFL schedule together that we will get in April to make sure that the biggest opportunities for the biggest numbers are out there in 2021 after a year in which revenues dropped significantly because of the lack of a live gate. Now, they were able to make their TV dollars, and they haven't missed a big TV game yet, but the overall numbers were down a little bit, and we did have a lot of schedule changes, if you recall, with games being postponed until Mondays, Tuesdays, and I think, wasn't there a Wednesday game? Darris is in for Anthony. Was there a Wednesday game this year?
There was a Wednesday game. I believe that was the Pittsburgh Ravens game. Ended up being played on a Wednesday.
That's right.
Yep.
Pittsburgh Ravens was on a Wednesday. Exactly. The week before Pittsburgh played Washington. So we ended up having an NFL game on every night of the week with the exception, I think, of... No, we had a Friday game because Christmas Day was Friday and the Saints played the Vikings, which also did an enormous rating even though it was a blowout. So this year we had an NFL game on every day of the week. Wednesday, Tuesday, and Wednesday included. Don't be surprised if Washington and Dallas in 2021 end up playing on Thanksgiving Day again. Now, Dallas has the opportunity, you know, playing the NFC South to, you know, I'd have to go look at their home schedule. Actually, I'm going to do this right now. I know this is a very early look at a schedule, and this is not my mock schedule, which will come out about a week or a few days before the actual schedule is released in April. We've got plenty of time to put that together, but let me just see if they play Tampa at home. They do not. They play Tampa at Raymond James. Their home games are obviously the three against the division opponents, Atlanta, Carolina, Denver, and the Raiders. And then they also have the Cardinals at home. Now, if they get that extra AFC East opponent, it could be and would be, let's see, what were the who finished third in the AFC East this year? The Patriots did. Are you going to be into the Patriots and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day? I mean, the Patriots aren't really the Patriots anymore. Looking at the Cowboys' home schedule, Washington seems like it would be a prime Thanksgiving Day game. I don't know. I like the Thanksgiving Day games, and then I sort of don't like them. If it's going to be a big game, it's two teams with bad records and a bad division, as it was this year, I just assume have a nice Thanksgiving Day game where I don't have to totally plan the entire day around the game, which is what we've had to do several times here in the last few years. But I'm you know what? You heard it here first. Bold prediction, the first of 2021, when the NFL schedule comes out, Washington is Dallas's opponent on Thanksgiving Day. Wouldn't surprise me at all. All right, when we come back, I want to get to the James Harden trade to the Nets. What a blockbuster. I want to talk about Kyrie Irving. And I want to talk about what the NBA's biggest problem is right now. I know that some really enjoy a league in which the players have as much control as they do in the NBA. But it's starting to hurt the league. I don't think there's any doubt about that. More on that next. Cooley a little bit later on in this hour on Chase Young's performance, his film breakdown from that. You'll hear that. Mike Jones, USA Today, 7:25. Wilbon at 8:25. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show.
You can listen to the Team 980 on your smart speaker. Just say play the Team 980. The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the radio.com app.
What a blockbuster trade, as James Harden says he wants out, and with 3 years remaining on his deal, they trade him. It was an unbelievable trade when you consider the compensation that came back for James Harden. I'm going to get to that here momentarily and talk about the ramifications of this four-team mega trade that involved James Harden leaving Houston and a bunch of teammates that he said on his way out weren't talented enough and weren't good enough. He's lucky he didn't get his ass kicked, and maybe if he had stayed another day, Boogie Cousins would have done it to him. But I want to start with Kyrie Irving, who continues to be AWOL from his new team, the Brooklyn Nets. This is truly one of the fascinating situations in recent years. Not that this idiot hasn't been involved in a lot of interesting situations during the course of his career. I'll remind everybody that over the summer, he talked about his artistry, saying, you know, don't worry about what my life off the basketball floor is. It's about on the court. Look at my resume. Look at the classics. Look at my art. I've created it for going on 10 plus years now. Don't play with me. Don't play with what I do day in and day out basis to provide and go out there and create. He's an artist. He is, at times, I think, spectacular to watch. If you can separate the art from the artist, he really is spectacular to watch. The NBA is currently reviewing videos that are out there on social media of Kyrie Irving without a mask at a family birthday party. The Brooklyn Nets do not know what his status is. There's no belief that he's going to return to the lineup this week. He was already ruled out of his fourth straight game on Tuesday night against Denver, and he missed last night's game against the Knicks as well. And his absence has been attributed to personal reasons, which stemmed from his distraught reaction to what happened at the Capitol a week ago yesterday. The videos, by the way, which are all out there, who knows if they're recent or not, but the videos show a smiling Kyrie Irving dancing with his sister on a confetti-covered floor. It was his sister's birthday party, clapping as she blows out candles. And if the video is found to be recent, which they can identify through technology, that would be a breach of the league's coronavirus protocols, and it would put the Nets into a position to not pay him. The league's COVID-19 guidelines forbid players from going to clubs, bars, lounges, etc., and they also ban players from attending social gatherings of more than 15 people. The Nets general manager, Sean Marks, said yesterday, "We are aware of a social media video featuring Kyrie at a family gathering. We are reviewing the circumstances with both Kyrie and the NBA in order to determine compliance with health and safety protocols." Marks added, "Kyrie will have the opportunity to address his absence when he's ready to do so." Steve Nash essentially has said he hasn't heard anything. Asked if he's confident Irving will return at some point. Nash did say, sure, sure. They traded for James Harden. They gave up an unbelievable amount of compensation to bring James Harden onto a team that had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant as the cornerstones of what they thought was a potential NBA title team. By the way, the addition to Harden to the Nets made the Nets almost the favorite to win the NBA title, amazingly. And I'll get to that in a moment. But on Kyrie Irving. So there is there are definite explanations and definite reasons that you would say, okay, let's back off. You know, obviously, if he's on paternity leave or bereavement leave. Now, I think if he were on either one of those two, we would have known that. The team would have known that. He would have had to ask for that. And they would have certainly put that news out there to protect his reputation, because right now his reputation, as it has many times in the past, is taking a big hit. People around the league think he is a major dum-dum. And obviously, you know, he's an eccentric to a certain degree. I think that would be a positive way to put it, and he'd probably love that description of himself because he considers himself to be such an artist. The other reason that may not have been disclosed and would be totally valid, and I would be just personally as a sports fan and an NBA fan, not a Kyrie Irving fan in terms of his personal behavior, in terms of what kind of chemistry killer he's been on every team he's been on, the disruption that he's been on so many teams that he's been on. There is no way I would ever want him on my team, as talented as he is. The other reason would be if he is suffering from some sort of psychological disorder, you know, anxiety, depression, you know, you come up with whatever you would want to add to the list that would be very personal and that he may be dealing with in something that the team would not want to disclose. Now, we've seen in recent years, you know, Kevin Love comes to mind. Kevin Love just wrote so eloquently and spoke so passionately and emotionally about the issues that he was having with panic attacks. There were a couple of other players as well. I think DeMar DeRozan suffered through the same thing. But let's just, for now, go on the assumption that Kyrie Irving is just doing a Kyrie Irving. You know, the only person he cares about is himself. Everybody comes first after him, because that's the kind of player he's been. And let's also remember what he said about, it's about on the court. Look at my resume. Look at the classics. Look at my art. I've created it for going on 10 plus years now. Don't play with me. Don't play with what I do on a day in and day out basis to provide and go out there and create. He's an artist. Hey, dude, you're getting paid $33 million a year. That's $460,000 a painting. Get out there and paint. We need some art, Van Gogh. Do your best, Monet. See, here's the problem. And we've seen this in recent years, especially in this league, but we've seen it throughout the sports world. There's this sense of I'm owned. You know, I'm not free. Well, join the real world, you know. When you are working for an employer, you are, to a certain degree, owned is a very exaggerated way of putting it, because you aren't owned. You can leave. You can choose not to work for that employer and go take on another profession somewhere else. But for many of you out there listening, me included, when you are under contract, you have a responsibility to that employer. You are the employee, and those who pay you for your services are the employer. And you have many responsibilities, the biggest being to show up for work because you're getting paid and do your best for your employer. You know, in sports, it goes beyond that when you're talking about the kind of money that we're talking about. $33 million a year this year Kyrie Irving is going to earn. For a 72-game schedule, which is what it is this year, it's like $459,000 per game. you have a much greater responsibility in so many ways, because the livelihood of so many around you depend on you showing up for work and doing your best. Winning and performing well is something that benefits all of the people around you. And sometimes, you know, it's really hard if you've been told how smart you are and told how great you are and told how much you're the one that's needed more than anything else, to recognize anything other than yourself and your self-worth. And to recognize that others around you are actually very much depending on you. You have a responsibility. You have an accountability. And he, unless it's one of the reasons we described up front, which I would be very, very sensitive to, if he's dealing with major psychological issues, if he's dealing with anxiety or depression and that he is really struggling with this and the team doesn't want to disclose it because he's asked them not to disclose it, we may find out that that's the case. And by the way, just because he was attending some birthday party for a family member doesn't mean that he's not suffering from depression. I understand that. I'm not so limited as to say, oh, well, he's out partying, or he's out stumping for politicians, which apparently he was doing online in a Zoom call during a game the other night that his team was playing. It doesn't mean that he's not suffering some sort of psychological disorder, but let's just go with the assumption that he's just a wingnut whack job, which he's been for much of his career. You know, he's a flat earther. He's an artist, man. Got to start painting, as my friend Scott told me last night. Let's see that brush in action for $460,000 of work. If I were the Brooklyn Nets prior to yesterday, I would have been thinking about how to, again, considering and going on the premise, on the assumption that there is not some sort of major personal issue in which the employer is very sensitive to and is trying to help him through it, which I would hope that they would do if he is indeed suffering from something. Assuming this is just him saying, eh, I don't really feel like playing right now. You know, these events last week really, you know, really impacted me. I was pretty upset about them, and I'm upset about a lot of other things. I'm not coming to work. Well, look, you know, all of us have to multitask. All of us in our own jobs have a lot of personal, you know, issues going on, but you got to show up for work because you got to get paid, and you've got a responsibility to your employer and a responsibility to the people that you might be helping to provide for. And so you got to show up, and you're able to sort of multitask. You're able to do more than one thing. Assuming that he's not suffering from some level of depression or some sort of psychological disorder, or maybe he's physically hurt, although I think we would have heard that. If he's on paternity leave or if he's on bereavement leave, I think we would know that. You got to be able to deal with both, because there are too many people counting on you. Prior to yesterday in the trade, which clearly is an indication that they don't know what's going on with Kyrie Irving, I would imagine that if he is just essentially AWOL, they are looking into every possibility to make sure that they don't pay him. Can you imagine? You know, and it's one of those things where you talk about when people say, well, they're owned, they don't get to do what they want. Oh boy, they have a strong union. They've got a very strong union. It is not etched in stone that this dude won't be paid for being AWOL. Can you imagine that? How unfair is that? If he actually gets paid for unexcused absences. I would have thought about whatever I could do to get out of every single cent and make him feel it. The problem is these guys have earned so much money, multi-generational money. It is easy to sort of not be accountable. It's sort of easy to say, okay, go ahead, don't pay me. I got $147 million in the bank, net. It's not a good situation. They deserve it. You know, this was something we talked about when he ended up in Brooklyn with Kevin Durant. I said, this is not going to work. This is not going to be pretty. Chemistry is everything, and you've got to find people that love what they do. You've got to find people that understand it is a team thing and others are relying on you. And to win, you have to be one of those people that understands that. You don't have to understand the total big picture. You don't have to be able to read a P&L statement. You don't have to understand, you know, where some of these NBA teams, many of them are barely eking out a profit, which is true, because of the biggest expense that they have, which is payroll. But you certainly have to understand that they're paying you $33 million for you to show up and do your best. Now, this James Harden trade. Harden basically begging his way out of Houston. You know, there's been, and I'm going to give my buddy Scott credit for this because we were having a conversation for it last night. And he said, you know, this is sort of the culmination of something that's been brewing for some time now. You know, when LeBron James left Cleveland the first time, he was an unrestricted free agent. And he was able to go out and pick the team that he wanted to play for. Now, he held the big decision thing and talked about, you know, championships, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, et cetera. And he held the big special with Jim Gray. And a lot of people were off put by that. But he had reached that point in his career where he was not under contract anymore. Per the rules, he was an unrestricted free agent. He could sign with whomever he wanted to sign with. And he ended up putting together a great team in Miami. Fast forward a few years later, Carmelo Anthony wanted out of New York. Carmelo had 1 year left on his deal and forced a trade, demanded a trade, said, I want out of here. And they traded him with 1 year left on his deal to Oklahoma City. Couple of years later, Anthony Davis, 2 years left on his deal. I don't want to play for New Orleans. I want to get out of here. Forced the Pelicans to trade him to the Lakers with 2 years left on his deal. And then we go to yesterday, James Harden with 3 years left on the recent deal that he had signed with Houston. 3 years left on the deal. And he says, I don't want to play for you. And they trade him. What's the point of these contracts anymore? What's the point of these commitments? What's the point of these teams offering up these unbelievable packages of long-term deals in which they are planning around those expenditures? They are planning around him being there for the length of the contract. In return, all right, for James Harden, Houston got a haul. All right, they got a haul. They got first-round picks from Brooklyn in 2022, 2024, 2026, plus they got swaps, and by the way, those three picks unprotected. So if Brooklyn ends up picking high, which I don't necessarily think that would be true this year, but who knows where they'll be in 2024, 2026. Plus they get pick swaps in 2021, 2023, 2025, and 2027, which means that they will swap for the higher. If Brooklyn's got a better pick, they get to swap those first round picks in those years. The Rockets also got Cleveland's 2022 first-round pick via the Milwaukee Bucks and ultimately got Victor Oladipo as part of the deal as well. Oladipo will team up, by the way, with John Wall. By the way, John Wall handled, I think, the situation with Harden very well. He just said, look, if it's not working, we got to find people here that want to be here. Boogie Cousins was a little bit more direct in saying, Harden was utterly self-absorbed with, you know, showing up late and then talking about team chemistry. He said the chemistry isn't very good, and the dude showed up, as we know, late to the whole party. Personally, I think when it comes to Kyrie Irving, you're not going to win unless you've got LeBron on your team. And he did win with LeBron, and he did hit the big shot in Game 7. They went underneath that screen, and he buried it at Golden State. It was a huge shot. He was the alpha in that fourth quarter, if you recall, of Game 7 against Golden State. But everywhere he's gone, he's been a chemistry killer. James Harden hasn't won anything as he just dribbles the shot clock away. And the NBA is losing big time as well. They're losing viewers. They're losing people who care. They're losing people who love basketball but don't like to see a league that kowtows time and time again to the players. And I will say this as one last thought. It's not every player. I still think most of the players in that league have not only couth, but they have an understanding of what their responsibility is when somebody signs them to a massive deal. We are going to pay you X, and you're going to provide us Y in services. And many of those players, the significant majority of those players, do understand that. Kyrie Irving doesn't, James Harden doesn't, and a few others don't. And it's given the league a bad look for a lot of people that love basketball but have turned away from the NBA in recent years. We'll talk to Mike Wilbon about this later on in the show at 8:25, in addition to other things. You know, a lot of people last night tweeted me and said, look at what Houston got for James Harden. Bradley Beal might be just as valuable as James Harden. Now is the time to trade Beal. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. All right, I have a few thoughts on that. Bradley Beal right now, for those not paying attention, is the NBA's leading scorer, and it's actually not even close right now through 10 games. He's averaging 34.9 points per game. All right, the Washington Wizards have the leading scorer in the NBA. Beal had that game where he had 60 last week, should have had 70 in that game. Went quiet in the fourth quarter. But he's averaging 34.9 points per game, and C.J. McCollum in Portland is second, averaging 28.1 points per game. Curry third at 27.8. I love the people who just sort of wrote Steph Curry off. He can still play. All right, when we come back, I want you to hear what Chris Cooley said about Chase Young's performance Saturday night against Tampa Bay. You'll hear that when we return. Also, I want to tell you about mycomputercareer.edu. Hindsight is 2020, and 2020 was a brutal year. There was a lot we could not control: the pandemic, the tanked economy, record job losses, etc. What can we control? Well, what we do for a living, our job, our career. Yeah, you've got a choice. You know, as long as you haven't signed a contract yet, you've got a choice. Don't look back with 2020 hindsight a year from now and see yourself stuck in that 2020 job. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take a free career evaluation. I promise you it's worth it. You don't need IT experience. You don't need an education. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. You could start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort and safety of your own home. Live online classes meet just twice a week. You'll get what you need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career actually helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers who hire their students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited, and financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. Take the free career evaluation today and make sure they know that Kevin Sheehan from the Team 980 sent you.
Regency Furniture. This weekend, shop the 72-hour Red Tag Savings event at Regency Furniture with Red Tag Savings up to 72% off store-wide. Free delivery and no-interest financing.
The Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Radio.com app.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
All right, what's trending is this new thing that we're doing starting this week. We'll do it towards the end of each hour of the program. Sort of replaces the updates that we used to do at the top of the hour. NHL season got underway last night. Five games featuring the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning beating Chicago 5-1. The Caps open up their season tonight at Buffalo. The Wizards game with the Pistons tomorrow night has been postponed due to COVID-19 contact tracing safety protocols. Another NBA game, the Suns-Warriors, also postponed. Meantime, the Wizards fear that Russell Westbrook suffered a major setback with his quad injury and now may miss three to 4 weeks. College hoops last night, 18th ranked Virginia beat Notre Dame 80-68. Locally, George Mason beat LaSalle 75-42. GW lost to VCU 84-77. And former Georgetown guard Mac McClung hit a jumper with just under 3 seconds left to lift number 15 Texas Tech over number 4 Texas in Austin last night, 79-77. McClung's having a great season so far for Texas Tech. He finished with a game-high 22 points. All right, we'll get to Cooley here momentarily. Sheehan, with some bad clock management this hour, we're pushing the top of the hour, so we'll play Cooley right after 7 o'clock, I promise you. By the way, Mac McClung, who was, you know, a big-time recruit for Georgetown, transferred from Georgetown last year, is now playing for Coach Beard and the Texas Tech Raiders, who are ranked 15th in the country. Remember Texas Tech, the last time we had a Final Four with Virginia winning the national championship, Texas Tech was in the championship game and lost that championship game in overtime. Texas Tech has really become a bit of a power now in college basketball. Texas, with Shaka Smart at the helm, has finally gotten it together. You know, everybody remembers Shaka Smart from Virginia Commonwealth, where he did a phenomenal job and took VCU, if you recall, in the 2011 tournament to the Final Four, which was, you know, in that run of Butler and other, you know, sort of mid-majors making deep runs into the tournament. He had a run there of basically taking VCU to the tournament every single year he was there, and he was rumored for big job after big job, and then he finally took the Texas job, and in his first year, they went to the tournament, lost in the first round, and then he's had a couple of struggling years. He had an 11-22 year in year two. He made it back to the tournament, but not as a very strong team in 2018. In 2019, they won the NIT, but he did not qualify for the tournament. And then last year, they were 19-12, and they were probably headed to the tournament. But here's the thing. There was talk about Shaka Smart being out at Texas. His team, before last night, 10-1, ranked fourth in the country before losing last night to Texas Tech. I think he is the perfect example of, in that sport, and maybe even in college football as well, you've got to be patient with these guys. Now, I understand a lot of you are going to start tweeting me about your favorite topic when it comes to a shared interest, Maryland basketball and Mark Turgeon. Look, Turgeon won the Big Ten title last year in one of the best leagues we have ever seen. And unfortunately for him, I think the big tournament run, the deep tournament run, he never had a chance to fulfill because the pandemic hit and shut everything down. You can be cynical and say, no, they would have gone out early. I don't know about that. They had a senior point guard. They had a player in Jalen Stick-Smith who was blowing up and becoming one of the best players in college basketball. He would have been very difficult to deal with. They had a lot of really good supporting players like Ayala and Wiggins and Morsell, etc. Last year, Maryland was a legitimate one of those 10 to 15 teams, and there were a bunch of them last year, if you recall. College basketball last year did not have, you know, sort of the perceived dominant team. And so there was really the thought last year that somewhere between 10 and 15 teams, you know, could win it last year going into that tournament. Maryland was going to be probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a 2 or a 3 seed, depending on how they performed in the Big Ten tournament. And they were going to have a chance. They were going to have a legitimate chance to make a big run last year. You know, you had, you know, Kansas and Gonzaga and Dayton. Maryland was the 11th ranked team in the country going into the Big Ten tournament. They were one of the 10 to 15 teams, whatever you wanted to call it last year, capable of winning the national championship. They were. He never got that chance. Be patient with these college coaches, man. It takes time. Shaka Smart's doing a hell of a job. But Mac McClung, the former Georgetown player who transferred, is having a really, really good year in Lubbock. It goes from D.C. to Lubbock, Texas. He's averaging 15.8 points per game, had 22 last night in their biggest win of the year, beating Texas on the road. He can play, man. It was a clear out for him. I don't know if you've seen the highlight, but at the very end of the game, instead of calling timeout in a tie game at 77, they essentially were confident that he could get the job done. He essentially went ISO between his legs a couple of times, step back. It looked like a three. His foot was on the line. It counted as a two for the win. And he had a good night last night. Very exciting player to watch. I'm sure they miss him at Georgetown. Anyway, all right, when we come back, I promise you, we will play the Chris Cooley film breakdown, film evaluation of the Chase Young game against Tampa Bay, and then Mike Jones will join us at 7:40, and then Mike Wilbon at 8:25. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com.
Download the Radio.com app and favorite the Team 980 to listen anytime, anywhere.